I'm an HIV educator. I do a combination of outreach, working with researchers to make sure that the community voices are included, mobilizing other women who are positive, HIV positive. Before I became infected, I was a college student and I was an aspiring attorney. But having HIV, I think I found another purpose where I can still impact the law and I can also hopefully be a messenger of hope for other women.
So tell me a bit about when were you first diagnosed with HIV?
I was first diagnosed with HIV in 1995.
And what were the circumstances of your diagnosis? Did you decide to go for a test, or were you told you had to have a test, or were you not feeling well, or what? Tell us a bit about the circumstances.
Initially in 1994 I was raped, and so I thought it good to be tested. I was regularly in healthcare, and actually at that time somewhat of a hypochondriac, so that was just what I needed, great, and that was fine. And so a year later, I had a partner, and I was just really encouraging him to get tested. We were very open with talking and condoms and things like that. But I was aware of HIV. There was fear of lesser or maybe different other STIs, sexually transmitted infections. But HIV, I don't know why, but for some reason, it was bothering me. And so I was under the assumption that I had been tested, which wasn't quite the case. I had been tested for other STIs, but not HIV. And so I asked my partner to get tested, and he was just like, well, I've been tested for work, and I was tested because of this, and, you know. And so I kept the pressure on, and he said, oh, to me one day, well, yeah, I went and did it. And so I know that the turnaround time at that time was anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks, depending on where you got tested. And so I inquired, did you get back your results? No, not yet. Did you get back your results? No, not yet. Have you heard from the clinic? No, not yet. When are you supposed to go back? Oh yeah, I'm gonna take care of it. And so his initial response was, I did it, everything was fine. And I was like, that's what they said? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, usually the doctors, you know, are a little bit meticulous. They don't usually give blanketed results and just say everything was okay. And I was like, well, what did they say specifically? And it ended up that in any case, that was one of many diagnoses he gave me. Indeterminate, negative, to everything was fine, and actually positive. And so once he said that he was positive, although I hadn't gotten my results, I had kind of gone ahead and just taken on the HIV identity and assumed that I would be positive, and shortly after that I did get a positive diagnosis. And I think one of the first things I remember thinking was, wow, I really want to have children. I really planned on having children. And I decided to live immediately. So that was kind of taken care of, but children, I just didn't know if it was possible or what that looked like.
So, did you tell any of your friends or your family at that time?
Yes, I initially told my two best friends who I had grown up with, and they were exceedingly supportive, and I guess vicariously I told their moms, not actually in theory, but as information exchange goes. Then I told my siblings one by one, but not right away. I think as the months went by, but my younger siblings I reserved, and I didn't tell them for several years.
What about your mother? Did you talk to your mother about it as well or not?
My mother does not know that I'm HIV positive. I did tell my dad, and indirectly my aunts and my uncles on my dad's side, and my mom, I told her sister, one sister, and later another, and more recently my uncle. But like many of my friends know, and partners and things like that.
Did you have any support from doctors and nurses when you were diagnosed?
My pediatrician also was an HIV specialist, And actually the team that I went to was full of subspecialty doctors, HIV subspecialty doctors, that also were general practitioners. And so that was good. That helped make it a little more seamless. And there was a lot of support there for my well-being and health. And I can remember my doctor saying to me, and it was the most priceless thing, she says, "I hope you know I still expect to attend your graduation." And she was just like, "You know, this is not a ticket to stop trying. I have, you know, the highest expectations of you." I think one thing that was challenging was that my doctor wasn't ready for a patient advocate. And, you know, when I was positive, I knew that I wanted to live. I knew that I wanted to have children, and I knew that I wanted to have a good quality of life. What was challenging is that although my doctor was very supportive and affirming of my life, I don't think that she was ready for me to want to be so empowered and to get so much information. So I was going to physician's desk reference. I was getting articles and summaries and calling pharmaceutical companies and requesting videos and requesting information literature. For me, it was important to have ownership. That was a piece that I couldn't give away.
Tell me how things moved on from there.
Eventually, I did find someone who was willing to have a child. And so, even after I'd gone through all the processes and I was actually pregnant and I changed and went to a special doctor, a specialist who works with HIV and pregnancy, you know, every day I had to ask myself, did I make the right types of choices? Was I being selfish? Was this fair to a child? Not being able to say, well, I have 30 good years, I'm sure of. But then there was also the thought that no one does. Yeah, there were definitely people who thought that even after I was pregnant, why don't you just have an abortion? I was actually told, I think you should just have an abortion. Well, have you at least even considered it? It's not that painful. Which was just, like, unbelievable.
So what would you like to say to medical people in the States about HIV and motherhood?
To doctors, I would ask, duty to do no harm is the oath that you've taken. And I think that harm extends more than botching a surgery or missing a stick. It's about also preservation of the spirit of the person, of that real peace that makes the life meaningful. And so for a woman who's HIV positive, who decides to have children, she's reaching out to you as a partner. And I ask that you embrace them as a partner. People make better choices with more information. People don't make good decisions with judgment, with blame, but they make good decisions with options. The medical technology has evolved so much. We know how to prevent maternal and child transmission. And we need to be able to say that to people and give them options so that they can make healthy decisions.
Tomeka, we've been hearing a lot about people starting to be fined or imprisoned for transmission of HIV in the US, as well as the rollout of the Model AIDS law, which has been supported by the US government in West Africa and elsewhere. Can you tell us a little bit about your feelings about this in relation to HIV and motherhood?
Well, I think with the international policy where women are being forcefully sterilized or forcefully having tubal ligations, I think it's awful. I think that HIV takes away something that you never get back. And again, choice is so powerful and so important. And women need to be affirmed that your womanness is still with you, that your beauty is still with you. And one of the most beautiful things about women is having the option to have children. And so I don't think that we should take away the option for any woman to have children. We need to educate women how to have children safely, how to have access to medication, what services are available, where are the services, how to follow up if your child is infected, if your child is not infected, what type of testing do you need to find out? I think it's not about taking away a woman's choice. It's about teaching her how to exercise her choice and how to make good decisions. There's so much power in being able to choose. And I think we take away choice when we're afraid, when it's something that we can't control. But it's something that women should have control over themselves, and the medical community, you know, policymakers should be able to take that away. I think their energies would be better used in finding more ways to reduce maternal and child transmission of HIV. For me, I did everything I could to have a negative child, and I was fortunate to have. But thinking about HIV policy and criminalization, that some mothers could face jail because their children are positive, I think it's insane. Here you have someone at the most vulnerable place in their life. They've made a choice to jail a woman for having an HIV positive child would be punishment. For a woman to know that she's brought a child into the world, a child who may have to struggle with stigma, who may have to fight for health, and to then remove her from that child and to put her in jail is insane. And it's not a protection of the child's life. The child's life is protected when the mother's available, when the mother's there to be supportive and to make sure that medications are taken and to get more education and to affirm the child's right to live and right to be healthy and right to be loved. Sex is such a powerful medium, not just in the United States, but across the world. And because it's human and it's innate and it's often the way we comfort ourselves and we comfort each other, it's the way we celebrate, it's the way we forget when the day's been long and the world's been hard. And so, in the U.S. in particular, people are heightened, that awareness of the power of sex is heightened. Sex is to sell a bottle of water or to make a shampoo exotic. And so opposed to criminalizing transmission, I think the laws could be better used to hold companies accountable for the use of sex in targeted advertising and merchandising. And so I think also laws could be put in place to make sure that medical providers are getting the proper training so that we're not doing intervention after people are infected, that we're not having to have such hard conversations with women, and I wouldn't have to have such a hard decision to make about having a child, but because we have an integrated healthcare system that goes beyond just the healthcare arena, that people are trained and educated comprehensively about HIV, about transmission, about sexual rights, about reproductive health. I think there's so many things that policymakers could do that would reduce transmission, because criminalization, it doesn't reduce transmission. It increases stigma. It increases secrecy. It expands the need for people to tell lies. People are already going on medical vacations to get their teeth fixed. So now what we would have is medical vacations to go have a child. The United States has excellent health care. We know how to reduce mother-to-child transmission. It's not a new science. It's not a thing that we're trying to figure out. We've figured it out and we've done well. And many hospitals have celebrated records. Everybody needs to know that women who are HIV positive need to know that my doctor is my partner. My doctor is my champion. My doctor is a safe space for me. It's a place for trust. It's a place where I can learn how to have a healthy child. But when those messages of rejection go out, when those messages of judgment, you shouldn't be having a baby, it's not your choice, it's not your right, how selfish can you be? That doesn't stop pregnancy. Criminalization doesn't stop pregnancy. But what it does is it puts people in positions to make unsafe decisions.
And finally, what dreams do you have for yourself and for your child?
I would like to have another child. I would like to reach so many women. I would like to reach women that aren't infected and really show them that it's not her, it's us, it's we. It was our date last night. It was, oh, he smells so good and he looks so fine, but may not be good for our bodies. And just teaching them how to make healthy decisions and that sex is not a crime, and being human is not a crime, and loving is not a crime, and living is not a crime. But it's beautiful, and it's beautiful with options. It's beautiful with when you own your personal power. I would like to be at my son's graduation. I would just like to have a good life, be surrounded by family, be surrounded by friends, and know that when I wake up and I have my gift of life, that it can be a gift to somebody else.